Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And we're also going to start with a word of prayer here. And before I do that, I want to remember to say Happy Veterans Day. That was yesterday. So I guess Happy Post-Veterans Day. And if you're a veteran and you're listening, thank you for your service. And I hope you had a good day yesterday. I managed to do well yesterday. There's a lot of things that's kind of nice that you can get as a veteran. In fact, they've got so many nice things. I was telling somebody, when I first got out of the Air Force and I left active duty in 1900, it sounds so far away, doesn't it now? In 1987, when I left active duty, and I don't remember all of the things that you could get, you know, all the free meals and things like that, but I started out the morning. I had to take my son down to south side of Akron in the morning, and while he was down there, I had some time to kill, and I went over to a Bob Evans restaurant that was there down on the south side of Akron at Arlington and 77, and they had free breakfast for veterans, so I went in and I thought, well, can't beat that. All I had to do is pay for my coffee, and that was kind of nice. I really appreciate them, and they did, and the waitress and everybody was just so happy and so welcoming and thankful to the many veterans that were there for breakfast that morning. And then later on in the day, I'm not a big fast food guy, but I like certain places, but McDonald's is not one of them. I was trying to think of the last time I actually had a McDonald's hamburger, but they had a free one, so I took advantage of it and to get my son something to eat anyway. So while I was there, they had a free hamburger and fries and a drink for veterans. And so we stopped at the McDonald's there in Norton. So again, very friendly, very nice for Veterans Day. And then later on, my wife and I went out. Down to Wadsworth at the Applebee's there in Wadsworth, and they have a meal every year for veterans. And of course, that was really good. The place is just full. It's kind of neat when you go into these places, and people got their hats on, jackets with different things on it, and you see different people, and you see some of the branches of service they were in, and the different commands that they were with, things that they did, and you hear people talking, and you'll see everything from older guys, that are kind of still just putting one foot in front of the other, either in a wheelchair or on a walker or something like that. And you look at these guys, and sometimes they start talking and begin to think and hear the stories about what they did when they were young men, sometimes 18, 19 years old, and they were leading units into battle and things like that. Just unimaginable, you know, you think about when you look at them and just try to remember what they've done in the past. And so again, certainly salute our veterans out there. Hope you had a good day, and certainly appreciate those vendors out there, those restaurants and things that make meals available on Veterans Day to us, and certainly appreciate that. And then of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that 365 days a year, you can get a free cup of coffee as a veteran at any of the get-go gas stations, and that's always kind of a nice deal. Not only the veterans, but also first responders, police, fire, rescue can all get a free cup of coffee there. And I mention that because my wife was talking with somebody the day before Veterans Day and asking if they were going to do anything for Veterans Day. And they were talking about different things. And she said something about free coffee at get-go. And this lady who was a veteran had never heard of that. She didn't know. And I remember the first time I heard about it was some years ago. I was at a get-go in Lakewood. And while I was there, and I happened to have an Air Force hat on that I usually would wear, and the guy said, "Oh, thank you, the coffee's on us," and I thought he was just being a nice guy, and then I realized and found out that that's Get-Go's policy. They give a free cup of coffee, and all they ask is that you show, you know, generally they'll take your word for it, but they do kind of ask if they don't know you for some evidence that you're a veteran, and usually a lot of us have a veteran's card of some sort. The VA or local county veterans office has cards. They put out different things, and they also do it for active duty military as well, and then, of course, they usually want you to show your Giant Eagle card so that they can keep a log. And boy, if I have to show a Giant Eagle card and proof that I'm a veteran to get a free cup of coffee, you know, when you consider the cost of a cup of coffee today. So I appreciate, again, like I said, all those vendors and restaurants and different things that give a discount and make free meals available to veterans on Veterans Day, and those that do things throughout the year. What a blessing. It's just nice to have a little something there. And sometimes I almost feel guilty getting those things, but I like the coffee, so I don't feel too guilty. But anyway, just to encourage you to check that out if you haven't, if you're a veteran. And again, thank you for everything. And I had actually put together a graphic for Veterans Day. I always like to try and put something together. And usually Veterans Day, you see, you know, like some soldiers marching or in battle or tanks or maybe you see some Navy ships with guns blazing or something like that, or Air Force jets flying, you know, fighter jets or something. I wanted something that kind of reflected my Air Force service, and if you go on to our social media, or even onto our webpage at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, I put together one that actually reflects my Air Force experience, and if you take a look at it, let's see if you can figure out what it is. But what's featured in there in the lower right-hand corner is a Flare 9 antenna array, and over top of that is a SR-71 Blackbird flying by. So, like I said, I want something that reflected my Air Force experience, and I wasn't seeing anything like that some of the other people who were from the old Air Force Security Service, which was a predecessor to my command, which is Electronic Security Command, which later was folded into the Air Force Intelligence Agency, and I think it's morphed into a few things since then. But I've had a few positive responses for some people who appreciated having something that reflected our experience. You know, we didn't have the fighter jets and things like that. We had, I think it would have been nice to have in there, but I didn't really have room, was to squeeze in an RC-135 in there somewhere. So if you're listening and you know what those are, that gives you an idea. And so we're kind of the same page here, I guess. But at any rate, thanks again for everybody. And thank you for everybody that comes up and says thank you for your service. Appreciate that. And I started to say earlier, when I first got out of the Air Force, out of active duty, I didn't know about all this stuff, didn't experience all this stuff, but where it really seemed to be the turning point was after the September 11 attacks in 2001. And it seemed like after that there was a turning point, because before that, You know, people would say, oh, yeah, nice that you serve. Thank you for your service occasionally, but not as much. But after that seemed to be a real turning point. And certainly after that, we've certainly sent a lot of young men and women into hot spots around the world. And so I think people are seeing a little bit more and have a greater appreciation for what the military has and still continues to do despite the challenges that we have from some of the woke addicts that are around, and certainly pray for those that are in the military today. When you think about it, we've got a lot of buildup in the Middle East, and we know what's going on with Israel and Hamas. A lot of people don't realize that Iran, through its proxies, have been attacking U.S. military assets left and right in Syria, in Iraq, and elsewhere. In the some of them that are out in the waters, the naval units and things. And so pray for the safety of our men and women in the military who are in harm's way today. And certainly pray for the safety of Israel and the Jewish people, and not only in Israel, but around the world when you consider what's happening today. Anyway, just want to share some of those things before we got into the program today. And also remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can see the veterans graphic that I put together with the SR-71 and the Flare 9 antenna array. You can also listen to past programs. I think I'm up to, looks like last Sunday, the 5th of November, and I don't have last Friday on there yet. But there's also some articles and things listed there. My latest article, which I might talk about a little bit later on tonight, Psalm 83, Future or Fulfilled. And there's some debate as to whether Psalm 83, which talks about a battle against Israel to destroy Israel, some people think it was fulfilled. I'm of the opinion that it's yet future for a variety of reasons, and I have that there. The one prior to that was, "And so all Israel shall be saved," and looking at what the Bible says is going to happen with the Jewish people and how they are eventually going to accept Jesus as their Messiah. And so we got a few things there. You can see that some of those were probably prompted from current events and some of our Friday night Bible studies, which reminds me, you can go visit our webpage for our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can link from livewithpastoral.com to that. And, of course, I'm the pastor of the church, and we'll have more information about that later on in the program. We have a Friday night Bible study every Friday night. It's an informal Bible study. In fact, our radio program came out of our Bible study when we first went on the air a little over 17 years ago. We were trying to figure out what we were going to do, and we thought, why don't we take the question format and answer format and the discussion format that we have on Friday night, see if we can do that on the radio. And so we started doing that, and we started getting callers and questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, just like we do in our Friday night Bible studies. And so we've gone with that all these many years. Occasionally we have a guest on, a special topic or something like that. But ultimately, the backbone of the program, I guess, is opening up the phone lines for callers. And so you can call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to get to our first caller here in just a moment. Haven't started in a word of prayer yet, so we'll do that, and then we'll jump to our caller. But let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We do pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ, and help us, Lord, to be able to encourage believers in their walk with you. And Father, just use this program for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673, and we've got Nancy waiting patiently for us here. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. And before I get to my question, yes. I just wanted to share a few tidbits about Veterans Day in my family. My husband did not pass the physical mm-hmm. to go into the service. He was 7 pounds over what their limit was. And then my father was a conscientious objector, a pacifist. He always said government leaders should just fight each other and leave all the civilians alone, which I thought was a good idea. And then my great-great-grandfather was a draft dodger from Germany. That's how I happened to come to the United States.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't have any brothers, so they couldn't be in the service. So I don't, you know, a lot of people brag about their father or their, brother or, first cousin and all that. But anyhow, I do have a second cousin who was a captain in the Navy. So mm-hmm. I'll brag about that. Chris is not supposed to brag. But getting to my question which is dominating the news, as we all know, all this pro-Palestinian demonstrations, Genesis 12:3, which we all know, I will bless those who bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. So it seems to me that all these pro-Palestinian people that hate Israel, that God will curse them. There's going to be a lot of people being cursed. And I'm just wondering if these huge, huge number of pro-Palestinian demonstrators and even these Ivy League schools and even around the world, it's just rampant. It's all you see on the news. I'm wondering, do you think it's possibly some of them could be George Soros or George Soros' son funded, or just some of these illegal immigrants that have come in that they hate Israel? Or do you think that young people who don't have a clue what's going on, they just think it's cool to demonstrate? Or do you think it's all of the above?
I think it is a combination of all of the above, really, because we know, for instance, that Soros has put a lot of money into this. One thing that I was going to mention, too, and I mentioned this before, that part of what is going on here, when I was in the Air Force, one of the things that because we were monitoring what was going on in Europe and the Mediterranean region, and this was during mm-hmm. the 1980s, during the height of the Cold War, and as we were looking at what was going on around there, there was a lot of unrest, a lot of Islamic unrest and different things, and not just Islamic unrest, political unrest. And, of course, for people who remember that time, that was when President Reagan here in the United States, Margaret Thatcher there in England, and they were stationing the nuclear-capable missiles, cruise missiles, and mobile-launched missiles in England. And, they just were the no-nukes and nuclear-freeze and peace crowds were coming out of the woodwork. But, see, they were all funded at that time basically through the KGB. All of your major peace groups in the 1980s were essentially funded by the KGB, either directly or indirectly, uh-huh. and controlled either directly or indirectly by them. And so a lot of the young people that were involved in those things, they knew nothing. They really knew nothing about what was going on. Mm-hmm. They just were swept up in a cause. When I was a student at Colorado State University back in the late 70s, early 80s, my roommate and I and some friends, we used to like to tweak what would be called the woke left today, I guess, because we were all conservative. Probably today we'd have been thrown out of school for being politically incorrect. But we started a movement, I guess, a tongue-in-cheek movement, absolutely tongue-in-cheek, and we called it Nuke the Whales. And it was back when, we were college students. I'll put it that way. I was a biology major. My roommate was a graphic arts and journalist major. And another guy, he was another biology major. And we had a variety of people. And another guy was an electrical engineer or something. But we were all, and another person I think was a pre vet student, was going to be a veterinarian. And but what we were doing, because you had the you know, the people who were against killing whales and mm-hmm. and all, and some of the things might have had some basis, but most of them, when we would talk to them, knew absolutely nothing. Except mm-hmm. they were going along with the crowd. They were caught up with the movement. They were caught up with the mm-hmm. The peer pressure. And they yeah. really, when you talk to them, they knew nothing. So we mm-hmm. started this Nuke the Whales thing. And we even had some T-shirts. It was it was all tongue-in-cheek. But some of the mm-hmm. people really got upset with us because they couldn't mm-hmm. understand and have a reasoned conversation. And that's one of the things I noticed early on in my college career. And then, of course, when I was in the Air Force and a much more real-world situation, looking at things that were actually making a little bit more difference than whether or not you were for or against nuking the whales. Mm-hmm. the seeing how many people and encountering people off base as an American Air Force member stationed in England, encountering people off base who you know, would sometimes try to bait you into an argument or something, and mm-hmm. and you know, it became readily apparent that these people knew nothing. They were just caught up in the mm-hmm. in the mob activity. They were going along with the crowd. They were reacting to peer pressure. And mm-hmm. so seeing that, that's my opinion today. Now, mm-hmm. having said all of that, in these groups, and you can see it if you know what you're looking for, you'll see certain mm-hmm. people that are the agitators and the organizers that mm-hmm. kind of direct and motivate people. And yes. and we see that happening in these groups. For instance, mm-hmm. You know, there's some coordination there. And one of the ways mm-hmm. you can tell that, and I've asked people this question at our Bible study and at church and even on the radio, if you wanted to get a Palestinian flag, where would you go to get one? I mean, let's say you wanted you were going to go out tomorrow and have a protest. Where would
George
you get
Soros, or I think George Soros made up a whole bunch of
yeah well, that's what I'm saying. If you personally wanted to get one for tomorrow, where would you go?
I have no clue.
Yeah, exactly, that's my point. They're not something that you could just go find. Now, if you wanted a United States flag, that would be pretty easy. If you wanted a Browns flag, right. You know, that'd be pretty easy. I'll bet you mm-hmm. could even get a Canadian flag or a British flag without too much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you go to get a Palestinian flag? And if you notice,
very suspicious.
Hundreds, thousands of these brand new flags that everybody's got them, and they're waving them all around the place. Where did they come from? Somebody paid for them. Somebody mm-hmm. went out and got them and supplied them. Somebody is doing this. I've got a video playing, actually, I just happened to look up on my screen here on the computer, and this is in New York City near... on Veterans Day, near the United Nations, where a whole crowd of pro-Hamas, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, you know, protesters are out there, and they're waving their Palestinian flags, and a guy's climbed up on the lamppost, and he's pulling down the U.S. flag, and he's pulling down the U.N. flag, which I can agree with that part, but the U.N. flag, mm-hmm. but he's putting up Palestinian flags.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we see, and I know we're coming up on the break here, and I got some other callers who called in as well, which is good, but here's it's more than just George Soros money. It's more than just some shadowy figures behind the scenes. Remember during the Antifa street parties, you know, back during 2020 and the BLM?
Yes,
remember, somebody pre-positioned pallets of rocks and things like that around in the mm-hmm. cities mm-hmm. before the riots took place. So there was mm-hmm. coordination going on.
Can I just ask you a real quick question? Now, all of these young people that don't even understand the whole basis of 1,400 Israelites being killed, they don't understand it, but they're swept up in this movement, are they going to be cursed just like the people that understand?
I think so.
What's going on? So they will be cursed just like the other.
Yeah, I mean, after all, under the law, this is ignorance of the law is no excuse. And, the German people who didn't understand this, Germany was a divided country after World War II because of what they did to the Jews. Russia, a lot of the Russian people didn't understand this, but Russia went from being a great world power to just being devastated after their ill treatment of the Jewish people. Remember the pogroms of the late 1890s. And we can go on and on and cite countries that have had problems because of that. But, like I said, in the Cold War, you had the KGB behind the scenes doing a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But here's the ultimate power right here. And I came to this conclusion when I was in the Air Force seeing all this stuff. The ultimate power behind all of this is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." The mystery of iniquity. It's the devil working through the world to orchestrate these things. That's the organizer. That's what's pulling these people out. These people don't know God. They don't understand the Bible. They don't understand that the Jewish people are the apple of God's eye. They don't understand that God has a plan and a purpose for Israel. They don't understand that Jesus is going to return to the earth one day and rule and reign over the world from Jerusalem, sitting on the throne of David and over the house of Jacob. They don't understand that. They don't know that, and they're lost in darkness. They're unsaved and completely blinded to biblical spiritual truth, and they're being led by the spirit of iniquity that's working in the world right now. And that's what I think is ultimate. And will they be held responsible for that? Absolutely, because God said that he would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And he didn't say whether they did it out of ignorance or not.
Thank you.
Yeah, obviously, if they do it with knowledge, it would be worse. But go ahead.
Yeah, I thought that was the case.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for answering my question. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Nancy. I appreciate the call, getting us started here this evening. And God bless. And thank you for calling. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we got, about a minute or so, I think, before the break. We got a couple of callers calling in here. And let's go ahead and get John, and we can hold John over if need be to the second half. But, John, are you with us tonight?
Hello. How are you?
Hi, John. Just to let you know, we've got a break coming up, and we can hold you through the break if you don't mind.
I'll go ahead. Am I on right now?
Yeah, we get you started here, and then when the break comes up, we'll just hold for a minute.
I wanted to ask about the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I've been a Christian for a long time. God has changed my life. I can't even tell you how. But I have a friend who keeps telling me, John, you've got to be baptized. You got to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he makes me feel as though I am lacking in some way because I don't speak in tongues.
Right.
So it's pretty complicated, diverse. You know, it's created a lot of problems throughout time here, especially with the rise of a charismatic movement.
Right.
So I will just kind of go off here and let you explain that to me.
All right. And before we hit the break, let me give you one verse real quick. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. But are we off?
The Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. And we went until midnight tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Also want to remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about us, more about the program. You can see some of the social media sites that we're on, read some articles that I've written, listen to past programs. You can listen to our Sunday night programs, both the first hour and the second hour. And you can listen to our Friday afternoon program. We've got a half hour every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And all of it right here on AM 1220, The Word. And then, of course, there's some other things there linked to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. That's the main sponsor of the program. You can link to the church site from there, learn more about us, where we're at, and we'll have more information on that, of course, in the program. And then, of course, there's also our other sponsor there, that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Don't have a link to them, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, located 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you're interested in getting into your own business, if you want to start your own pizza place, or maybe you want to add pizza to an existing line that you might have somewhere else, or just something like that, give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and he'll help you get set up in your own business, not a franchise, be your own business, and let him know you heard about it here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back to our program. And John had called in with a question about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is a term that gets so horribly, horribly abused. And different people mean different things by it. And so we'll touch on this and real quick here. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost,
we have where the disciples were gathered together in the upper room where Jesus had told them to wait until they received power from God. In chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive power after that. And notice what he said here. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. So he said, you're going to have the Spirit of God come upon you, and this is going to do two things. One is you're going to receive power. And secondly, you're going to be witnesses. And witnesses is meaning witnesses to the saving grace of Christ, the gospel message. And so in chapter 2, they're there, and it says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let me pause for just a minute here. Nothing here says baptized with the Holy Ghost. It says filled with the Holy Ghost. There is a difference between baptism and filling. For instance, baptism is to be immersed within something. Filling, I can baptize a glass by or a cup by putting it in a sink full of water, immersing it in there. Or I can fill it by pouring water into the cup. Do you see the difference there? And this is crucial, because when we put our faith in Christ, we're baptized with Christ into his death and into his resurrection. And when we do that today, we receive the Spirit of God immediately. After all, Romans chapter 8 says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Spirit of God is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, say all the same, different names, same person of the Godhead. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, this is what Paul wrote after the day of Pentecost. This is after the Holy Ghost came upon the disciples at the day of Pentecost. And this is a statement of what our situation is today. When you put your faith in Christ, you are baptized into Christ. You are baptized into the Spirit of God as well. You have the Spirit of God in you. If you did not receive the Spirit of God, you are not saved. This is not saying that you get saved and then you beg God and later on he gives you his Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon people and left them at different times. They did not have the Spirit of God indwell them at the moment of salvation and being with them throughout all of their earthly life. Now we're sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption, meaning when we're caught up to be with the Lord. We, as believers in this age of grace, this dispensation of grace in which we live, when you put your faith in Christ, you receive the Spirit of God. You don't need some second blessing to receive him. If you didn't receive him in the first place, you didn't truly get saved, because Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay, so what happened in chapter 2 of the book of Acts? Well, the Spirit of God came and filled them. Now, this is a different expression, and filling is something that we need more and more. Moses was instructed with the things that he had to do in building the tabernacle in the wilderness. It says in Exodus chapter 31, start in verse 1 here, Exodus chapter 31, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And notice what he says here in verse 3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. He filled this individual, Bezaleel, with his spirit so that he could be used to do the work that God had for him to do. And that's what we find happening in Acts chapter 2. They were filled with the Spirit, they were endued with power, and they went out. Now, did they speak in tongues in Acts chapter 2? Absolutely they did. They didn't speak in gibberish, they spoke in known languages. And it lists the languages here because it says, in verse number 5, and there were dwelling, well, let me back up again, the tongues of fire, which I don't know why every once in a while you hear charismatics talk about tongues of fire, but if you're gonna use Acts chapter 2 to prove that you have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, then you got to go with the spirit, the tongues of fire landing on your head too, because that's what it said. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't start repeating some tongue twister like rubber baby buggy bumpers over and over until they started. And you would laugh at that, but I had a book given to me by a Foursquare gospel pastor who wrote a book telling how you could learn to speak in tongues. And he gave me his book, said, you got to speak in tongues. And one of the things that he said in his book was, if you're having trouble, you prime the pump by using a tongue twister like rubber baby buggy bumpers. And when you repeat it over and over until you're speaking gibberish, then hallelujah, praise the Lord, you're speaking in tongues. No, this says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then it says, they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And it's because it was the holy days. And so people from all over had come to Jerusalem. And as they were there, it says in verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. His own language. It's not gibberish. It's not some heavenly language that no human can understand. This was human languages. And they were all amazed and marveled and said one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. In other words, human languages. And they list them. Verse 9, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, in Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, in all parts of Libya, Mount Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Guess what happened? They were empowered to speak in known human languages so that the people would realize a work of God was going on. But moreover, they received power just like Jesus said that they would in Acts 1 verse 8. And the power of the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they became witnesses unto him, because the people that heard them in Acts chapter 2 themselves said, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They were witnesses. They were empowered to be witnesses. The speaking in tongues was a side issue, not the main issue. The main issue is they received power to be witnesses for Christ. Over in a little further in chapter 2, Peter preaches a great message in the language of the people, not in tongues, and many people, thousands of people, come to Christ as a result of his message. And he says in verse 38, and then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is what happens when you put your faith in Christ. When you put your faith in Christ, the Spirit of God indwells you at that moment. You are baptized, immersed into him. and He in you. He fills you, and you feel. Well, you can't possibly feel God, but you're immersed in Him. And so He continues. And He says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And as it continues, it says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And so what did they do? Well, they all spoke in tongues, right? Because they received the Spirit of God. No, it says this: "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." And then it goes on talking about how they basically serve God. God filled them with His Spirit so that He could fill them. And this is the purpose. The receiving of the Spirit of God comes when you put your faith in Christ. When you put your faith in Christ, He takes up residence in you. But here's the thing. I'm sitting in the studios of WHKW Radio, AM 1220, The Word. Okay? I am in the studio right now. But there's more rooms than what I'm sitting in. I'm only in one room. I don't fill the studios. I'm in the studios, but I don't fill the studios. The studios have all of me in it, but I don't fill the studios. If I had access to every room, every office here in the studios, then you might be able to say I fill the studios. But I don't have access. Think about it. The holidays coming up. People have guests and family, and people come over and stay maybe over the holidays. And so you have house guests come over, and you ready the guest room, and everything's nice, and you get everything ready for them, and maybe the guest room's got its own bathroom associated with it, and you get everything set, and you say, "Well, here's the guest room, here's the bathroom, here's towels and all the things you need here, and feel free if you're hungry, the kitchen, and here's this and here's that." And you receive them into your home, but they don't fill your home, do they? Because you don't want them coming into your room in the middle of the night. You don't want them rummaging through your closets. You don't want them going up into the attic or poking around in the garage. They're limited to where they can be. And this is what happens when we get saved. We receive the Holy Ghost. But then we say to the Holy Ghost, "Well, sit here, make yourself comfortable. Here's a nice comfortable chair to sit in, and I'll come and talk with you every once in a while. But I don't want you out in the part of my life where I'm watching television. I don't want you in the part of my life where I'm out having fun with my friends. I don't want you in the part of my life where I'm doing things that I don't want you to convict me over." That's not being filled with the Spirit. No, we need to be filled with the Spirit to allow Him access to every nook and cranny of our life. In Ephesians chapter 5, and Paul says this. He says, starting verse 16, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." It's a long sentence there, but did you catch the key at the beginning of that sentence? "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." There's a great analogy there. What happens when you're drunk with wine because you've had excess or any alcoholic beverage? You know, they used to have a lot of signs. I can remember signs on places that would say spirits. You know, beer, wine, liquor, spirits. And they would have the sign spirits in neon lights because they had hard liquor. And alcohol, that's what they're talking about. It's another spirit, isn't it? And he's saying, don't be filled with that and controlled by that, but instead be filled with the Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to control you. Don't let the spirit that's in the bottle control you. Let the Spirit of God control you. When you're drunk, you're controlled by the alcohol. Well, you need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Be filled not with alcohol, but with the Spirit of God, and let Him control you. That's what He said. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit would result in us. He didn't say anything about speaking in tongues. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart with the Lord, giving thanks, and all these things that we're empowered to do when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need. When you're saved, you receive the Spirit of God. You're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you didn't get the gift of the Holy Spirit, you didn't get saved. Paul said that. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You have the Spirit of God. You've received the Spirit of God. Now you need to be filled with the Spirit by allowing Him access to every area of your life. Now, sometimes in the Scripture, when people were filled with the Spirit in the Old Testament or in the book of Acts, you saw them speaking in tongues, but not every time. And sometimes when people receive the Spirit, they didn't speak in tongues at all. So speaking in tongues was not the purpose of being filled with the Spirit or receiving the Spirit of God. Speaking with tongues in the book of Acts was largely an occasional thing that sometimes was necessary to convince the Jewish people that it was of God. When Peter preached to Cornelius and the Gentiles, and they got saved, the Spirit of God came upon them. They received the Spirit of God. They spoke in tongues. The Jewish believers in Jerusalem, when they heard that Peter had gone up there, they questioned him on it. And one of Peter's defenses was, he said, they spoke in tongues just like we did on the day of Pentecost. It was a sign to the Jewish people that this was of God. But not everybody that was filled with the Spirit, not everybody that received the Spirit spoke in tongues. Now, the charismatic crowd would say, well, it just doesn't say it. It's implied. Because they want it to happen every time. And it didn't happen every time. And there's no reason that if it didn't happen every time then, why should we expect it to happen every time today? And besides, the key was there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He told them to tarry, and that power, they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That's the key right there. The evidence of receiving the Spirit of God is not speaking in tongues. It's power to be witnesses for Christ. That's the key. Speaking in tongues was only an occasional thing in the book of Acts, and it's really not needed now, to be quite frank, because we have the completed Word of God. And I'm not going to get into that more right now for time's sake, and I do apologize. We had Terry waiting on hold. I think we'll have to hold him until the next, after the top of the hour here, because we just got a couple of minutes. But this is an important thing. You know, when you think about it, if I gave you an envelope that had a $100 bill inside, and you got all excited, you threw the $100 bill away, and you said, look at this envelope. This is fantastic. You'd think that's kind of ridiculous, wouldn't you? The envelope is not the important thing. The $100 bill would be the important thing. When God gave us His Spirit, the important thing was not speaking in tongues so somebody would hear you and go, wow, they're speaking gibberish. No, the important thing that God gave you His Spirit for is to fill you with power so that you could be a witness for Him. There's other things the Spirit of God does for you, certainly. He seals you until the day of repentance, as I said before. The Spirit of God bears witness to our spirit that we are His children. The Spirit of God takes the prayers and the things that we can't even put into utterance. We can't even express them in words. The Spirit of God can take them directly before the throne of God for us. And He intercedes with groanings that cannot be uttered. I've actually heard people say groanings that cannot be uttered is speaking in tongues. What part of cannot be uttered do you not understand? It said cannot be uttered, which means you can't do it. You can't. Speaking in tongues is not groanings that cannot be uttered. They're things you're uttering. So by definition, it wouldn't be that. So again, don't worry about this claim that they're somehow lacking if you've not spoken in tongues, but rather worry about whether you've received the power of God to be a witness for Him. That's the more important thing. That's far more important than whether or not you spoke in tongues. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that you can have power to be His witness, so that you can share the gospel with others and help others come to Christ as well. Well, we've got another hour. We'll be on until midnight tonight. We're going to take a break here for a couple of minutes. And again, apologize to Terry. Hold on. We'll have you when we come back from the top of the hour break here. But again, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know Christ? If you do, you've received the Spirit of God. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, as Paul said in Romans 8:9, you're none of His. You can't be saved and not have the Spirit of God in you. But are you filled with the Spirit? Do you let Him control you and use Him for His glory, not your own? Well, sobering thoughts to consider, things that we need to study the Bible and let God speak. More that we could have said, but we're going to take a break here, and I hope you'll stick with us. We'll be here till midnight tonight, and you can give us a call in the second half. So stay tuned and don't go away.